I believe I read somewhere that this is the longest chapter in the Bible. But we're focusing on verses 73 through 80. Knowing that it was my turn to teach, I got into this probably right after church last Sunday and started reading it. And I told my wife, I probably never read this before, but this is probably the most beautiful thing I've ever read in the Bible. I know a lot of the Psalms, I don't know if this one's included, I imagine it is, but a lot of the Psalms were written as songs or poems. And when I read this, my first thought was, I wish I could write a song that pretty. Because it's just beautiful to me. It's telling us how we ought to live, for the most part. And before I start on the lesson, I want to go back to the very first verse in the 119th Psalm. Excuse me. It says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." There's two different ways of looking at things. There's this guy's way, the world's way, and there's God's way. And we hear a lot of times God's ways are higher than ours. God's ways are better than ours. And I have come to the conclusion over my years of life that the closer I walk in towards God's way and away from my way, the better my life is. If I strive in life to be more like what the Bible says I ought to be like, instead of being like what the world says I ought to be like, I have a lot more peace in my life. I have a lot more joy in my life. And a lot of times the world will look down on us and make fun ridicule. They think that just because you're a humble person that you're weak, or you know, there's many ways of looking at it, I guess. And there's a lot of ways that this flesh looks at and gets offended by God's ways. I guess I'll say it that way. I don't want to look like a sissy. I don't want to look like I'm weak. I don't want to look like I'm anything negative toward the world. I don't want people looking down on me thinking that I'm something less than what I am. But at the same time, if I walk the way God wants me to walk, and I am in the right place in my heart, I don't care what the world thinks, I care what God thinks. And as long as God's happy with the way I live, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. But we'll go ahead and start reading this. Chapter 119, verse 73 says, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments." The understanding of the commandments, none of us can understand anything the Bible has written in it unless the Spirit gives it to us. That's the only way understanding comes. We have to pray about it and we have to study it, and if God gives it to us, then we understand it. If God doesn't show us through the Spirit, then we don't have any true understanding of what it means. He's starting out right here. And if you read back in the 119th chapter, earlier verses, he says the same thing. He says, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Thinking about this, when the Psalms were written, I don't know what year it was or anything, but it was way before Jesus came. But there's a lot about Jesus in the Psalms. I was trying to study up on, you know, where this lesson came from, who wrote it, whatnot, things like that. And there's not any proof of who wrote this particular psalm. It was long believed that David wrote it, but then some other scholars have other ideas of who wrote it. Just in reading the way it's written and the way it says things, to me, it sounds a little more like Daniel or Jeremiah, which were both in the same time frame. But they knew, those guys, and maybe I'm wrong, but it seems to me that those old prophets knew the letter of the law. They were taught the law as they were growing up. So for this writer to say, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments, that tells me that he was looking for a spiritual guidance. He knew the commandments. He knew what the words were that were written down there, but he wanted to be led by the Spirit. And that's another thing that I didn't know if I'd get into, but people have said that there was no Spirit before Jesus, before the day of Pentecost. This lesson to me proves otherwise. Verse 74 says, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. There's been several times that me and Cindy's been out somewhere on vacation or out to dinner or whatever and run into somebody that we have never met before, and within a few minutes there's a spiritual connection, and we know them through the Spirit and they know us through the Spirit, and it's a joyful situation. Not everybody you meet you have that connection with, but when you do meet somebody like that you can recognize in the Lord, it's a good thing. It's a joyous situation. And the Spirit shows you that. It's not anything that I could say to anybody just from my mouth to convince them that I was a child of God. Only the Spirit can reveal that. Excuse me. Verse 75 says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. God never told us this life was going to be easy, but he told us he'd be there with us every step of the way. There's been times that I've been what you'd call afflicted. Most of the time it was my own fault for stepping out of line. But the fact that God afflicted me when I stepped out of line was out of love. And it was to correct me, to help me get back in line. I'm sure we've all had the discussion with our kids. Now it's with my grandkids. They get mad sometimes because they got certain rules that they have to follow, and some of their friends don't have those rules. They get to do whatever they want to do, or they can have whatever they want to have. And it's out of love that we correct our children, that we make these rules. It's to keep them safe and to keep them on the right track. And if we love our children that much, how much more does God love us? The rules that he has, the law that we live by, was written and designed to keep us where God wants us to be, for our own good. I believe that God gets glory out of everything that we do right. Everything that we do for him, he gets glory out of. But I also, as a parent, I believe that God's glory that he gets is like when the only thing I can think to equate it to would be when one of my kids does something, gets on the honor roll at school or does something good, and they get a reward or get an award for it. I'm proud. I'm proud of them because they've worked hard and they've earned it. Well, the things of God that I've got, I haven't earned, I guess you could say. But when I do follow the Lord and the Spirit moves in me and somebody else is able to see that or feel it, that gives God glory because he's proud of me for doing what he told me to do. Because the only way the Spirit can move in me is if I follow the Lord and do what he wants me to do. And then people will recognize that. And like that verse said, that 74th verse, the people that recognize that will be glad that they knew me. Anybody got any comments at this point?
Say, well, the Lord don't allow us to do that. It's in the book. And I've heard say that a lot of people say they don't like the rules in this church.
Yeah.
They better take that up with God.
Yeah.
Because we don't like the rules. And good lesson.
Yeah, I had a person at work one time, not too terribly long ago, tell me, and this was before she even knew that I was a Baptist. She knew that I went to church, but she didn't know what kind of church or where. And we were talking on the line one night, and she made the comment that the worst people that she knew was Baptist because they were so judgmental. And I just kind of grinned and said, well, guess what? I'm a Baptist. She said, well, you don't seem like the other ones I know. I said, well, I said, when Jesus was here, he said he did not come into the world to judge the world, but there was one, the Father, that would do the judging. And if Jesus wasn't worthy of the judging, then I certainly am not worthy to judge anybody. I said, but what I can tell you is what the Bible says. And that's not me judging you. That's God's law. And if you feel convicted by that, it's because you should. And I'm not even going to get into what kind of person it was that I was talking to, but hopefully I made an impact in her life. I don't know. But I don't know why, but I feel like going back and reading this. Back to Psalms 19. Kind of fits right in with what the lesson's talking about. It's the 19th verse, chapter 19th chapter, verses 7 through 9. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Everything that God does is right on the money. Sometimes we like to complain about the way God has the thing set up. It might go against the grain of this guy a little bit. But when I get myself out of the way and get where God wants me to be, I can see that God is right and I'm wrong. My goal in life is to walk as close to God as I possibly can. Because if I do, I'm still going to fail, but I'm going to leave something behind for my kids and my grandkids.
Right. Chapter of Psalm, and he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, for sinners and deceivers, scornful, for standeth in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Amen.
And God will bless us if we follow his law right out of our heart. I mean, because we want to.
Amen.
I don't come to church because I have to. There may be times that I've done that, because I feel like it's necessary and I have to go. But most of the time when I come to church, it's because I want to.
Amen.
And I'm looking for the Lord even before I get here. And I like that scripture that says where two or three come together in my name, there in my midst of them. I like to be feeling the Lord a little bit before I get to church. And don't always do that, but once in a while I do. But we ought to delight in the law of the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of wondered a lot about this lesson. And I thought about Daniel. And what his life was like. A lot of his life was spent in captivity in Babylon. And I thought about Paul and how it seemed like, if you just read through the writings of Paul, he pretty much just went from town to town preaching the gospel and helping set up churches and helping other preachers to be able to take care of their churches. And I got to thinking, how hard of a life that must have been. Them guys in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, a lot of the people that we read about, they didn't have homes. They didn't have jobs. They didn't have anything. They just wandered around preaching the gospel. And I thought, on one hand, how hard of a life would that be, not knowing where you're going to sleep tonight, not knowing where you're going to get your next meal. But what joy in knowing that every aspect of your life was dedicated to serving God. And then I thought about the way we live, and we've got nice things, we've got nice homes, we've got cars to get us from point A to point B. We don't have to walk around like they did. Got a beautiful church to come to and people to worship with that we're accustomed to and we're used to being around and we're comfortable with. But if we're not careful, all that comfort will get us out of the line. I got to go to work every day to support my family and pay for what I've got. A lot of times it would be real easy, if I'm not careful, to go to work and slide right into the same mindset as everybody else I go to work with. And if I did that, if I let myself do that, it wouldn't be long before I'd be using the same kind of language they use, going to the same places after work that they go, and I'd be way off base with God. So even though I've got all these comforts, I've got to be careful about where I go and what I do and say. And it's no different than Paul when he didn't have any of those comforts. He still had to watch his step and stay separate from the world. One of the things that I always struggled with, seemed like when I was a young man, was the Bible says to keep yourself separate from the world. But then it says go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I always thought, well, how can I keep myself out of the world when the Bible wants me to go into the world? And it took me a long time to figure that one out. And that was just the fact that I need to keep myself separated in here. I can't do the things of the world. It goes right back to what I was saying earlier as far as being judgmental. It's not going to do me any good to go out in the world and act just like them and then tell them they're wrong. Nobody's going to listen to that. But if they see a difference in the way I live my life, I don't have to tell them anything. They see it. It's right there in front of them. And then when I do tell them something, there might be a little bit of power in that because I lived it. Go on with this. Verse 76 says, "Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant." God's word and mercy and grace is where my comfort lies. I have, just plain and simple, I've been in funerals for people that I love dearly. World will look at it and say that's the most horrible time in life. But most of the time it's been a joyful time because I know what that person stood for and I know where they're going, and God's Spirit just come and comfort me and take the pain away for a little while. And I can actually rejoice with the angels that person has went home to be with God. Now we're going to have things in life that tear us up, beat us up, and hold us back a little bit, I guess. But when we get where God wants us to be, He'll take care of us. He'll comfort us through the bad times. His mercy is great, far more than I can understand. It says, "Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight." That in itself, in a nutshell, is what this lesson is all about. Thy law is my delight. Like Bob said, if somebody else puts a law on you, you might be offended by it, or you might be a little rubbed the wrong way by it or whatever. But God's law, we can take that and put it right down in our heart and try our best to live it every day, and it'll be joy to us. It won't be offensive at all. I can't explain the difference between living for the Lord and not living for the Lord in my life. I could tell you the things that I've done that when I wasn't living for the Lord, and the things that I've done when I was living for the Lord, but those would be the things that I've done, and they don't even matter. The things that God has done in each time when I wasn't living for Him, He showed me mercy, and He gave me grace to come back to Him. When I am living for Him, He shows me mercy, and He gives me grace to stay with Him. I don't know if that makes sense to everybody, but in my mind, that's where I live, in His mercy and grace. There's nothing better than that. And it is my comfort and my delight. Right. Yeah. Verse 78 says, "Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts." Let's see if I can find this verse. I marked it. Marked a verse in Romans. I thought I marked it. Chapter 12 and verse 19. It's probably one of my favorite verses in the Bible, just because it helps me out. Just like I was talking earlier about people offending me or doing me wrong, and this natural guy wants to get back at him or retaliate or whatever you want to call it. But Romans 12 and 19 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." If I meditate in His precepts, I don't have to worry about avenging myself, because He told me not to. He told me to turn the other cheek and he'll take care of it. And that in itself is probably one of the hardest things that this flesh can be told. I know it's hard. It's hard sometimes raising kids. They go to school and some bully's picking on them or something, and you tell them, stand up for yourself. Don't let them push you around like that. Do something about it. But then on the other hand, God says, don't do anything about it. Just let it go. I'll take care of it. There's a little bit of difference there. I'm not going to get into all that. But following the Lord, if I retaliated, whether it was physically or verbally or whatever, anytime somebody offended me or done me wrong somehow, I would lose every bit of my influence with anybody that heard me retaliate or seen it. I guess the best way I can say it is, that's another one of those things about separating yourself from the world. The world will retaliate and fight, and the one thing that I've noticed in the world is the main goal of most people is to prove that they are right. Everybody wants to be right. When two people get into a fist fight, it's usually over something that has no bearing on anything except their own pride. They both want to be right about whatever they're arguing about, and they fight about it. Does that change the fact that this guy still has his point of view and this one has his? Not at all. At the end of the day, they just beat each other up and nothing changed. But if we can sit back and confess from our hearts that we're not right, God is. There's no fight. There's no contention. There's no argument. But God's precepts are right. Verse 79 says, let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. If we surround ourselves with bad people, well, I'm not even going to say bad people, ungodly people, that's a dangerous place to be. We can let them influence our life. We can let them convince us that just a little bit is okay. Whatever sin might be, just a little bit's not okay. If we surround ourselves with people that fear the Lord, there's strength in that. Like I said, we have to go to work. We have to go to work every day, or we have to go to school every day, or whatever it is we do on a daily basis. Most of us are probably surrounded by the world most of the day. But if we surround ourselves in life with God's people, the time that we are surrounded by the world, we'll have strength to endure that. And we'll know where our strength comes from. There's times, well, just like Daniel, put in the lion's den. It's easy to look at that story and go back in time and go, yeah, he was great. He went in that lion's den and God kept the lion's mouth shut and he come out fine, and that's a good story. But if you really look at it from Daniel's perspective, that had to be absolutely terrifying, not knowing what was going to happen. Was God going to bring him out, or was God going to take him home? Either way, he knew he was going to be okay. And we say that a lot of times. I've said it, I say it all the time, and I've heard other people say, I'm a winner either way. I'm going home. If what I go through in this world kills me, I'm going on to a better place. So I've got it made. It's no problem. But if you was faced with the death of being torn to bits by a lion, or thrown in a fiery furnace, or being stoned, yeah, there's a better place coming. But there's an awful painful in between there that you got to go through. And not knowing is probably the worst part of it. Daniel came out of the lion's den fine. The three Hebrew children come out of the fiery furnace, didn't even smell like smoke. But Stephen died because God said it was his time. But the fact is, I don't believe any of those people had any more fear than any of the other ones. They all knew what their chances were, and they all knew where they were going if they died. And I believe God's Spirit was there with all of them to comfort them through what they had to go through, just like he will be with me whenever I have to go through anything. Yeah.
They were watching church service a Wednesday night or two ago, and some of the nurses and aides was in there watching it with them. Uh-huh. And we went out there to visit one day, and one of them ladies in there told Imogene, said, "I really enjoyed your singing." Uh-huh. And I mean, they were, and that could be. And Imogene said the same thing. That could be the very reason that Lois and Mercy's at right now.
Amen.
Get somebody's attention, point them to Jesus. Yeah. And you talked about people putting you down. So I had a guy tell me one time that I was a religious fanatic. And it kind of made me mad when he first said it. But the more I thought about it, the more joy it brought to me. I was glad somebody noticed. And so it's good when people can see what you are and own up to it. I was working with another guy, and I don't go through the whole story, but he said, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "I try to be." And he said, "Well, why didn't you tell me? I wouldn't have been talking like that." And so he was real respectful, where some other people might not be. But it don't matter. We're supposed to live the same way for all of them, and treat all of them the same. And whatever we do, if we do it for Jesus, it's a blessing.
Like that last verse in this lesson, it says, "Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed." That's not talking about being ashamed in front of the world. That's talking about being ashamed in my heart. Because the Bible instructs us to study to show thyself approved. If I'm sound in my heart on the Word of God, then I don't have to stand in shame in front of God. I can stand with confidence with God. But anybody else got anything? We're about out of time.
Lois still lets people know she's got God. So.